Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual. Boy, I've got a tough voice today. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Now twice on Radio MD, every Saturday, 3 to 5 and 5 to 7 p.m., we discuss the issues most important for you to take control of you and your family's health, plus top guests. And we have a top one at the bottom of this hour, the top environmental reports that affect your health and what's toxic, what's not, with Gary Ginsberg. And now, that's what we're going to get to at 617, we'll get to Gary Ginsberg. Some programs have this at different times, but it's 17 after this hour. We'll talk to Gary Ginsberg, who's going to talk about e-cigarette use is skyrocketing among teens. What are we to do about it? Is it just to hook kids? Fracking debate, what's methane got to do with it? Pesticide seller trying to save the bees, and which jobs are associated with elevated lymphoma risk. And at the bottom of the hour, Catherine Price, P-R-I-C-E, the great New York Times columnist, talks to us about Vitamania, how vitamins revolutionized the way we think about food. She's a wonderful, wonderful guest. But first, I'm going to lead off with something that you might, even if you looked in my garage, think I have a problem with: hoarding. Hoarding's a serious disorder, and it's getting worse in the USA. Let me give you the story. Sandy Stark always loved pretty things. When she was a girl, she collected unusual rocks, birds' nests, crooked sticks, and dolls. As an adult, she gravitated to white ceramics and china, and she continued to add things: paperweights, kitchenware, and art. Year by year, the treasures accumulated until the only way she could navigate her San Francisco apartment was through a narrow line of what she called a goat path. Studies show that compulsive hoarding affects up to 19 million of us in the U.S., around 6%, and it's been found to run in families, and the rate is twice that of obsessive compulsive disorders that it was linked with until, if you will, the condition was separated from that in 2013 in the new DSM model. That's inside baseball, but what it means is that obsessive compulsive disorder is actually only around 10 million people, whereas brain imaging studies of hoarders have shown a relatively specific change in a part of what's called the anterior cingulate cortex. Now, I would say in my old days, come on, we're just studying things too much. But what this may do is, in people who have this disorder and this abnormal change, there may be a specific drug therapy that works, because, if you will, the antidepressants that have been used traditionally on these people don't work for obsessive. They may work for obsessive compulsive disorders, but they don't work for hoarding. So what has worked? Well, it seems like group therapy is helpful. And actually, Sandy Stark, our case that we started out, has gone into a member of a peer-led counseling group. But it wasn't until she found a comrade, a buddy, she calls us a quarter buddy, that she began her real recovery. And where is she? Well, she's actually doing quite well on getting rid of the goat pass. Now you say, well, why is this a problem? Well, it's a problem not only for the person who becomes dysfunctional in life, and it's much harder for them, but in addition, it's much worse from a standpoint of health issues, which cost all of us since we share medical costs, and it's a much greater cause of serious fire alarms, that in fire, it's serious fires, as these are causing much worse fires. Because it turns out when the firefighter enters the apartment, for example, if there's a fire, they don't think much is wrong because it's very smoldering and it's hidden by all the objects, but it can get to be a much more serious fire. And so there are firefighters who now educate other firefighters about how to treat these, because it is a much more serious fire hazard. So how do you know if you've got it? Well, that's a very interesting thing. So I worry, do I have this problem myself? Well, it turns out that this is not just collecting things in your garage or, if you will, a little bit of problem. It is the most common acquisitions are clothes and books. But often the stockpiling includes items that people ordinarily discard: junk mail, food packaging, shampoo bottles. Fred Lipschitz, who's a retired physicist from the University of Connecticut, calls it rubble without a cause. Over the years, he's hung onto the ticket of virtually every show and concert he has. He says he collects papers, plastic containers, and quart-sized jars. It does pain me to throw away something that's useful. But in the past few years, he's found help at the Institute for Compulsive Hoarding and Cluttering, which is out of the Mental Health Association of San Francisco. So this is a real problem. If you are a hoarder, if you know someone who's a hoarder, you can look it up online. It is Hoarding is a Serious Disorder is one of the common ways to look it up. Before we get to Gary Ginsberg, I want to go over one question in my mail. It was a question from someone who was wanted to take a vacation in a warm spot and said, "You said on last week's show that in the summer we should go north and in the winter not too far south. What's someone who loves warm weather going to do?" Well, there are places without mosquitoes. So mosquitoes are very rare in desert climate because they don't live well in that cold weather of the night. And it turns out there are a couple islands that I found out, based on this question, are really good. And the island that's close to the United States, Bermuda, has incredible mosquito abatement. So although it's on the sea, remember, you need standing regular water. Ocean water doesn't do very well for the mosquitoes. It's too salty. But mosquitoes, if you will, in Bermuda are so rare that they've only had one serious case of dengue fever or chikungunya, in the last 3 years. And that was in December 2014. That's how good mosquito abatement is. So maybe you could go, and remember, take along the DEET, take along enough primethoprim, take long sleeve clothing, but maybe Bermuda or the deserts are the answer in the winter and in the summer. Well, Bermuda seems like an ideal spot. It looks pretty good in the summer too, but I still say go north. Avoid those 30 southernmost states. You can go on the map. The CDC has a Zika map now, where it's likely to occur this summer. So you might want to plan your vacation. You might want to come to Cleveland, because our mosquitoes don't apparently carry Zika, or aren't likely to carry it. And some of Canada is good as well. When we come back, we've got the great, the wonderful Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic? What's not? He's got some wonderful subjects. E-cigarettes, fracking, what's it all about? Pesticides, and where jobs are associated with lymphoma. I'm also going to ask him about the Dirty Dozen that came out this week. They revised the Dirty Dozen from the Environmental Group, Working Group, and what he thinks about that revision. And then we're going to also talk about, was there anything that triggered the earthquakes in Japan? And what does that mean about earthquakes in the United States? We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where we want you to take charge of your health and stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why?
because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutritional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order The Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's The Eye Care Revolution. Fact: all probiotic bacteria strains are not created equal, and Natron is the only brand that cultures its own strains in-house for unparalleled quality and potency. The reasons why this makes Natron's Healthy Trinity the world's best triple-strain probiotic are endless, so we let our satisfied customers do the talking.
Hi, I'm Shirley from Lomita, California. I heard a commercial on the radio about Natron Healthy Trinity, so I called. Before that, I had gone to 3 gastroenterologists and nothing helped me. As soon as I tried Natron Healthy Trinity, everything changed, and within 2 weeks, I experienced complete relief. I'm so pleased with your product, and I'll be taking it the rest of my life. Thank you so much.
For a limited time, you can try Healthy Trinity risk-free for 90 days. Plus, the first 20 orders get free second-day express delivery. So call toll-free right now. 1-866-4-NATREN. That's 1-866-4-NATREN. Or visit natron.com and enter promo code RADIOMD. That's natron.com, promo code RADIOMD. More than half of all Americans, including teenagers, don't drink enough water. Waterlogged is a great app that will help you build good water habits with customized tracking and personalized reminders. Download Waterlogged from the iTunes App Store and start using your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad to track and improve your water intake. Set your goals, record your consumption, and get Waterlogged's exclusive smart reminders to alert you when you're behind pace to meet your daily goal and when it's time to hydrate. Optimal water intake is a goal that you can successfully achieve, and it'll make a measurable impact on how you feel and your overall health, because every system in your body depends on water. People who use reminders are 5 times more likely to reach their goals consistently, so let Waterlogged help you stay on track. Waterlogged is compatible with Apple Health and Fitbit, so you can log your water with the best app in the App Store and get a full picture of your health in your favorite app. Download Waterlogged from the App Store or visit waterlogged.com.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where we help and hope that you'll take advantage of what we teach you, what we say, to take control of your health so you can stay well for much longer at the top of your curve. At the bottom of this hour, the great Catherine Price. She really is a superstar of writing, New York Times author, New York Times columnist, frequent contributor, and who's written the book Vitamania, How Vitamins Revolutionize the Way We Think About Food. But now we've got my favorite segment of the show. Da-da-da! It's Gary Ginsberg. What's Toxic.com is his website. What's Toxic, What's Not is my favorite segment. Gary, was there anything that occurred in the environment that triggered, do you think, the extra earthquakes and those horrible earthquakes now in Japan? And is there, what does that mean and about earthquakes in the United States, if anything?
Well, the good thing is that those earthquakes didn't hit on any nuclear power plants or any sensitive places that would have created even more damage, like chemical fires or anything like that I've heard about. But, they were disastrous. These are much bigger earthquakes than the kind of earthquakes that fracking has caused, which are usually on the order of about 2 or 3 on the Richter scale, not 7. So, no, I mean, I'm not a seismologist, but I have not heard from them explanations for why, other than there being a fault. And we know fault lines, that's why people who live in San Francisco have their get out of town bag all packed, if you have any advanced tremor warning. It seems like people who live along fault lines along the Pacific Ocean have a little bit more to worry about. Boy, Japan and California really are, maybe they're trying to join up or something. I don't know. The earth seems to be moving under their feet. But no, I don't have any seismological explanation. It does bring me to the fracking story, Mike. And I did want
to,
so because that
That's
was
what I wanted very, to get prom- to.
Very prominent in the debate the other night, and, one candidate saying, absolutely not under my administration would there be any fracking, and the other candidate waffling a bit and saying, well, we're not going to do too much of that. I think where their advisors and their science people are coming from is the latest information on the risks about fracking, not so much about groundwater quality, although that still is a lingering issue, especially if the frack sites are not done well. There's some inevitable loss of some of these chemicals into the deep, deep, deep groundwater. It may theoretically affect some wells, but the bigger concern now that seems to be consensusly emerging is that it's not that beneficial for climate change. Better than coal, theoretically, but the amount of methane that is now being it was hard to measure it, but now more careful measurements are being made about how much methane is being lost from these frack sites and into the atmosphere, and methane is 30 times worse for the atmosphere in terms of climate change and absorbing heat than is carbon dioxide. So, for fracking to stack up, to be neutral to coal, it's got to do, well, it's at least neutral with coal now. But for it to be better than coal, it's got to do a better job of controlling these fugitive methane emissions. And the good news about that is from the study that I saw down in Texas, where this was intensively looked at recently at the Barnett Shale site, which is one of the original major frack sites, is that they found that only a small percentage of the wells were actually heavy methane emitters. So a lot of the wells were actually done better or were not done in a way that would release this methane. So that has to be studied, but there's hope that there are some wells that are more protective than others to the climate. In terms of ruling out natural gas and fracking as part of any kind of a bridge to some better future, I think that it's hard for any candidate to say no to that. But to that bridge aspect of it, but it can certainly be much better than it's being done now. There's very little regulation of it. EPA has still studied it, but not really regulated it. And so that's where I think the next administration, whoever that is, really needs to do a better job.
Huh. So the message, if you will, is we don't know what to do with whether fracking is going to be in the long run an improvement. It's a small number of wells. Does that mean can you cap those wells and stop them from being methane leakers once
you've... I think if there was, you know, each one of those wells represents a major investment, probably of millions of dollars. So, and there's expected productivity of it. So if there was a political will, you know, if you let the science do the talking, in terms of policy, yes, you would cap those poor performing wells. Absolutely, Mike. But, right now, I don't know anybody proposing that.
Let's talk about, since we're at two negatives, if you will, on things we can do something about. There is something we can do something about, and that is the e-cigarette usage that's skyrocketing among teens. What can we do about that?
This is new data collected by CDC, middle school and high school respondents, and since it's anonymous, you know, you assume it's fairly honest and accurate. The rate over the last, from the last survey to this survey, over the last 5 years, has gone up from about 3% to 16% in the high school kids. 16% of high school kids say they are now users. I don't know how frequent, I didn't get into the details of the survey, but they are users of e-cigarettes. And so, there's public health people on both sides of this argument saying, well, you'd rather see kids, you know, just doing something that has a lot less tar and nicotine and tar in it anyway, and much less bad for their lungs. But a study that I actually picked up in Newsweek about a year ago that was in the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics said, in a study of 700 kids showed that they followed these kids out for 2 years. And the ones that were on e-cigarettes at the beginning, a large percentage of them went on to tobacco-based cigarettes. So that's the problem. That's the issue. I mean, and it's one thing if the only people who are going to be using e-cigarettes are those who are already addicted to tobacco, and this is a way to wean them off of it, or at least a way for them to get their nicotine without getting all the extra carcinogens. And while we're on the subject, e-cigarettes do release carcinogens. You inhale them. It's not as bad as tobacco-based products, but do release formaldehyde and acetaldehyde at levels of concern, especially to the smoker, but also to those in the vicinity. So they are not completely benign, as much as you think, oh, gee, that person smoking an e-cigarette, that's not nearly as bad as being around a regular smoker. That is true, but it still is releasing harmful chemicals into the air. And the problem is that they've got the flavorants, they've got the marketing for the youth smoke, which will then, you know, that's the big public health concern, is that how many of those youth will then switch over to regular tobacco. And the nicotine dose is faster and higher with a regular cigarette, so that's the tendency.
Wow, from 3% to 17%?
Yeah, in the course of about 3 to 5 year survey. So wow. The rate is skyrocketing, which is now becoming a major public health concern.
Gary, I'm going to have to hold my favorite story over for later. That is for next week, which is which jobs are associated with increased lymphoma. And the pesticide seller is trying to save the bees. We'll have to do those next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Actually, next week may be a recorded show, so Gary, 2 weeks from now on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay tuned. We've got...
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Radio MD.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
What does the word organic really mean?
So organic really means there's a lot of human labor put into the food that you're consuming. So it could mean there's no pesticides that are applied to seeds and to plants. There's no antibiotics or growth hormones, that are being used in animal products. And it also, in most cases, means that there's no GMO seed that's being used.
Become a healthier you 5 days a week.
What's GMO? What does non-GMO mean?
Okay, so GMO, this is a good one. So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. So the question is whether or not a seed or a plant has some genetically modified gene in it.
It's health delivered daily. Listen live every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. I've got a laugh. Someone, one of our frequent listeners sent me an email just now. Someone stole all my credit cards, they said, but I won't be reporting it. The thief spends less than my wife did. In any case, this is the next segment. You can always email us questions to Catherine Price, or to myself, at UDOCS@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com. And what are we talking about this hour? We're talking about Vitamania, how vitamins revolutionize the way we think about food. Catherine is a award-winning journalist who's written and multimedia work has appeared in publications such as The Best American Science Writing, The New York Times, which is where I started reading her work, Popular Science, The Oprah Magazine, The Los Angeles Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Washington Post, Salon, Slate, Men's Journal, Mother Jones, Parade, Health Magazine, and Outside. She lives in Philadelphia. And Catherine, genesis of Vitamania, how did that start, and what do you where do you go with it?
Well, the premise of Vitamania really started with my realization that I didn't know as much about vitamins as I thought I did. There was one day when my husband turned to me and he asked me, kind of out of the blue, what's a vitamin? And I should say that Peter, my husband, is the source of most of my ideas for writing. And so I opened my mouth to try to answer him, and I realized that the only thing that came to mind was like sailors and scurvy and vitamin C. But beyond that, I really didn't know. And, you know, I thought to myself, oh, that's really interesting. These things are around us. We've probably taken Flintstones since we were kids. But how many of us really know what vitamins are, let alone whether we should be taking them and what they do for our health? So that launched me on this investigative journey through the world of vitamins. And I always like to clarify at the beginning, we tend to use the word vitamin to mean dietary supplement, and that's a much, much bigger category. That's about 85,000 products, and there's actually only 13 human vitamins, which is the letter vitamins that most of us know, like A, B, C, D, E, K, and there's 8 B vitamins. So, yeah. So that's where it started, and it just continued from there.
And now a lot of the, so we're just talking about the vitamins and minerals, or just vitamins today?
Just the vitamins. We can also talk about dietary supplements, because I learned as I went along that one of the ways that the 13 vitamins changed the way that we think about food is that the word came to stand in for this much bigger category of dietary supplements. And in part because of that, dietary supplements are regulated the same way as vitamins, and they can be different in a lot of ways. So feel free to go either vitamins or dietary supplements. Minerals is not my strong point.
Okay. And the concept is that a lot of our food, and I guess it started with milk and maybe with then after milk grains, were supplemented or fortified with vitamins. I remember when I grew up a long time ago in the early 50s, the milk was fortified with vitamin D, and we mm-hmm. always thought of that as a good thing because it was the only way of getting vitamin D in that era. And the cereals, it said, even white bread, it said fortified with 13 vitamins, I think. And
yes, Wonder
I
Bread.
I think that was Wonder Bread, as I remember. Whatever happened to Wonder Bread? Anyway, it's a good thing it died, since it was a lousy carbohydrate. I hope it's died. I hope I'm not criticizing.
I don't. You know, I hate to tell you this. I don't think it died. I think it's like actually expanded and spawned other Wonder products. But
well, in any case, now that I've totally offended, so. When I say I hope that it's died, is I hope that everything with simple carbohydrates has died, so I hope I'm not getting in too much trouble there, which I obviously already have, but anyway.
scratch that, you never said anything.
unfortunately.
But yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting story, because I didn't realize this, but the vitamins were only discovered about a century ago. So vitamin deficiency diseases are a relatively new concept, but really came to light at the turn of the 20th century. And the word vitamin itself was coined in 1911 by a Polish biochemist, and that was before we actually had isolated any of the vitamins. So everything that's happened since then has really been on a fast track. And like you're saying, it didn't take that long for food manufacturers to start adding vitamins to their products once it became possible to do so. So you really start seeing this big acceleration in the number of products that contain synthetic, that's man-made vitamins in them. And part of the reason for that is that around the same time, we're talking like 20s, 30s, 40s, there was a big rise in processed food, as you're saying, refined and simple carbohydrates, where you take out the natural oils and a lot of the fiber from grains to make white bread, stuff like that, breakfast cereals. And those then don't have their vitamins, because the vitamins actually get taken out during that processing, because many of the vitamins are very fragile, and then some of the parts of the grain and stuff that contain the most vitamins, like the oil, will cause the grain to go rancid, so you have to take that out of the flour. So one of the things I realized when I was researching and writing my book is that part of, like, vitamins are actually necessary for us to eat the way we do today. Or I should say synthetic vitamins are necessary. Because if we couldn't put vitamins back into things like breakfast cereal or white bread, or some of the other highly processed products whose natural vitamins have been removed, we actually could be at risk of vitamin deficiencies. And that just blew my mind. I mean, I'd never thought about it that way. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with synthetic vitamins. In many cases, they're actually better absorbed than the natural kind. But I just thought there was a very interesting kind of perspective on the American food supply that I'd never thought of.
What you're saying is that if we don't get vitamins in fortified food, we will become deficient in, or in vitamins themselves, I guess, in vitamin pills. And it's one of the common ones is B12. Another one is vitamin D. Are there others that you feel we need? And if you don't get those foods, do we need what you would call a normal dose multivitamin? Or how do you? So part of what you're saying is we absolutely need it based on the kind of foods we eat. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's a couple things to clarify. First of all, we definitely need the substances that are vitamins. If we don't have them, then we will basically die or develop a very serious deficiency disease because there are all sorts of reactions in our body that can't take place without vitamins. But with that said, you can get most of the vitamins through natural food. And by natural, I mean food that has not, like a, you know, an apple or vegetable, something that has not been processed, and that hasn't had its natural vitamins taken out, like refined grain would have had, you know, done to it. But basically, when people ask me the multivitamin question, you know, do we need to take a multivitamin? I encourage them to take a step back and ask themselves what they're eating. So if you're eating the diet that's always extolled in health magazines where you've got blueberries as one of your main food groups and kale as your snack or something and you're popping walnuts all the time and eating all that salmon and all that stuff, then you probably don't need a multivitamin because you're probably getting plenty from the food that you're eating. And in addition, you're getting all sorts of other stuff that's in those foods that we don't really understand, but which may have beneficial effects for us. Like you may have heard things like resveratrol, the stuff in red wine, or lycopene in tomatoes, all these natural plant chemicals that could be doing good things for us. So that's the ideal. If you are eating, instead of that, you're eating a diet that's really high in processed foods, but it tends to be like breakfast cereals, bread that has been fortified with extra vitamins, stuff like that, then you're probably fine in terms of vitamins. You don't really need a multivitamin because you're getting it in your food. And then there's the third category of people who might be eating a diet that's so poor they're not getting fortified foods. Say you're just eating French fries or you're just eating ice cream or something like that. In that case, I'd suggest you reevaluate your eating habits overall. But if you really don't want to change, then yes, you should take a multivitamin.
Now, when we come back and we're asking more about the multivitamin in health professional study, and we'll talk about excess doses such as Linus Pauling's high-dose vitamin C for colds and whether that really started something that is very bad. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Catherine Price, Vitamania, how vitamin.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and this product is not intended to diagnose, cure, treat, or prevent any disease. Awaken your mind with Exact, a new dietary supplement designed to help you gain a mental edge. Exact fuels your natural brain chemicals to unleash mental energy and stamina, providing the intense focus and drive you need to initiate important tasks and push through challenges. With Exact, you can think smarter, faster, and stronger because Exact supports faster reaction time and memory recall with improved problem solving skill and accuracy. Exact contains ingredients from traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at ExactMind.com. That's the letter X, ACTMind.com. ExactMind.com. Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We've been talking with Catherine Price, P-R-I-C-E, author of Vitamania, V-I-T-A-M-A-N-I-A, Vitamania, How Vitamins Revolutionize the Way We Think About Food. It's a wonderful and really comprehensive but fun read book as well, Vitamania, and she is an outstanding writer. Just to mention, in addition to this, VitamaniaTheBook.com is the website. And I promised to ask her what I think is, for me, the toughest question, because I take a multivitamin every day, half of it morning, half of it evening, because you have to divide it and have to get the right doses in a stable level. But the reason I do is largely based on not only deficiencies, that is, if you look at the vast majority of the American public, most of us miss one of the minerals, as well as some of the vitamins, inadequate amounts, but more of the minerals. But the second thing is, in the physician's health study, which really looked at people who were eating fairly well and exercising fairly well, that it decreased all-cause cancer mortality above the age of 70 by about 18%, and above the age of 50, I think it was by 8%. And so I know the studies haven't been repeated, but how do you should we all be taking that if we're or advising patients over the age of 70 to take it, Catherine?
Well, if we're talking about people over the age of 70, I mean, that's a different group of people, obviously, than those who are younger, because as you get older, you actually become less good at absorbing some of the vitamins. So, for example, B12 is very hard to absorb from food. It requires stomach acid, and a lot of people over 50, 60, 70 don't make enough of it. So I think there's nothing wrong with taking a multivitamin if you're above 70. Do I think you need to take a multivitamin? Again, I think it depends on what you're actually eating. So I would ask yourself the same questions I was asking in the previous segment about whether you are eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables that would naturally contain these things. The study you're talking about...
Catherine, let me go and say, I eat as close to an ideal, the only, if you will, non-vegetable or fruit or long-grain carbohydrate I eat is salmon. And I eat a wide variety and eat it. And when I measured the vitamin levels, I was, without taking a supplement, I would have been what I would call disastrously low in D and very low in B12. And so I said, I have to, I mean, that's why I said, and I eat as if you will, good as possible. Now, some of the fruits and vegetables, because I live in Cleveland, I eat are frozen, but they should be just as good as fresh.
Frozen is fine.
And even when I do that, when I measure my levels, I'm pretty low. And many of my patients, even as young as 40s, are deficient in some of those by our basic tests. That's why I started doing it for myself. But there's something wrong with our food if I'm doing it and I'm literally eating, I eat an average of 11 servings of fruit and vegetables a day.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a couple things that go into that. And again, I would preface all this by saying I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a multivitamin. I would caution everyone against taking excessive doses of vitamins when you start getting to multiples of the daily requirement. And the caution I would have in terms of the multivitamin is that if you are someone who eats a lot of fortified food or drinks a lot of sports drinks that have like several hundred percent of the daily recommended daily dietary allowance of a vitamin, you can start adding up quickly to big, big doses. But if you're just trying to kind of eat a very healthy diet and then take a multivitamin to even things out, I think that's fine. I would note that with D, that's a very different vitamin than all the others in that we really don't have many natural sources in food of vitamin D, as you were saying earlier. That vitamin is made in our skin with the help of UVB radiation from the sun. So if you're not outside much, if you're wearing sunscreen or protective clothing all the time, if you live basically north of Philadelphia, especially in the winter, you're probably not going to make enough D, so I actually personally do take a D supplement. And then the last thing I just like to point out to people in terms of deficiency and trying to get 100% of things is that one of the most interesting things I found out about vitamins is that we really don't fully understand all that they do in our bodies or how much we actually need. We do know that everyone's needs vary. There's no one set dose that's perfect for everybody, and our needs vary also by time of year and season and things like that. So it's hard to figure out what deficient actually really means. And the other thing I like to point out to people is that if you are looking at the back of your food or your supplement or your multivitamin bottle and you see all those 100% on the back, that's actually based on a very outdated version of the dietary recommendations. For reasons that are not worth getting into here, they are based on the 1968 versions of those recommendations for the most part. And the recommendations have been updated continuously since then, and in many cases are quite different now. So you need to be, I would not use the 100% to think that you've got a perfect score in all your vitamins. If you really want to be mathematical about it, which I don't really recommend that you do, but if you did want to, you should look up the newest versions, which are called the DRIs. Not really worth your time, but if you want to. And then the last thing I would say about that is that the recommended... Oh, sorry?
Those are in your book, right?
Yes, you could also buy my book and look at the back pages, and you would have those without the need to Google. But the other thing I was going to say is the RDA is, even if you are using the most up-to-date version, you don't need to get 100% of all of those vitamins and minerals every day. That's meant to be an average over time, and it also is, it's not a personalized recommendation, which I think a lot of us don't realize. It's designed to give recommendations on a population level, basically meaning, like, say I was designing school lunches and I wanted to make sure that they were nutritionally adequate for most school children, that's what I'd use. So technically, the definition is it's supposed to meet the needs of 97.5% of the population. That means that most of us could get by fine on less. It's like if the analogy I like to use, it's like if the government had to knit a sweater that would be big enough to fit nearly any randomly picked American. You could be like, when 97% of us could fit in the sweater, but it probably would be too big for most of us. And the same is true with those dietary recommendations. So in general, I mean, getting back to your question, I think it's fine to take a multivitamin if you want. Avoid superdoses and don't get too obsessed with the details.
We've run out of time, so I apologize to Jim Graham, who is on the line with a question, and I apologize for not getting to some of the email questions as well, such as, is the soil different? You can find out. We'll have Catherine back again if she'll come, but you can also find out by getting her book, VitamaniaTheBook.com. It's a wonderful book. What do we do about the soil and the soil changes as it seems to have changed with our nutrition and also with what we call industrial farming? We'll be back next week. It's a best of show next week, 2 weeks with a new show. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.